Welcome to the Clergy Wellness Podcast. I'm Reverend Nicole Riley, a clergy coach who helps you do one of the most important jobs there is without losing yourself. And I'm taking on new clients right now for the new year. So if you are a clergy person and you're looking to work with someone who will help you focus, achieve the things that are important to you, maybe you're newer in ministry or maybe you're mid-career and are looking at what's next, wherever you're at, I would love to connect. And all we do is jump on a call and see if it's a good fit for you. So you'll find out more in our show notes. Congrats to Jade, who won our Clergy Wellness Christmas basket a couple weeks ago. My next giveaway will happen in a couple weeks, and I'm going to be doing a giveaway for some free coaching in the new year. You'll find all of that on socials. And so if you follow me on Nicole Riley Coaching, you'll be the first to know. This is Season 2, Episode 28, A Christmas Eve Sermon. If you are a new listener, welcome. If you're a regular listener, we are so glad that you're here today. We'll also do a wellness practice of the week, what's making this week good, and a mindfulness meditation. So let's go ahead and jump in. With everything going on right now, I thought probably the thing I could do that would be the most helpful is not to put more stuff in your head, but to help you think more about this season. So I thought I'd share today a Christmas Eve sermon that I gave in 2018. Hopefully it is helpful to you personally, or hopefully it gives you some ideas as you are thinking through what you're going to be talking about. So this is called Infinite Hope, Part 5, and it's from 2018. I'll be back after the sermon for more. Tonight is one of the holiest nights of the year. And each of us comes here with our own history and our own expectations. Some of us come excited because there will be a new grandbaby or a new baby at the dinner table tomorrow, a new daughter-in-law, a new son-in-law. Some of us come and we are aware that this year we could not go home to be with family, and we will miss them. Some of us are very aware that this year, someone who was there last year won't be there. And then there are a lot of us who are just exhausted and wondering if it's all going to really come together. We come tonight with our own story. And I think we also come with a yearning. We come hoping. We come waiting. We are looking for more for our lives. We're looking for more for our world. There is an old Christmas song, and by old I mean from the 1990s, called My Grown-Up Christmas List. Do you know this song, My Grown-Up Christmas List? It's a song that invites people to think about what they would want as grown-ups on their Christmas list, what they would want for themselves, but really what they would want for the world and for those they care for. And so I thought, as we start, we might be able to just pause for a moment and think about what would be on our grown-up Christmas list. What are the deepest needs we have? And what are the deepest needs we see our world in need of? So let's pause for a moment and reflect on those, giving those to God in prayer, and then I'll draw us together with the prayer. Let us take a moment. Loving and holy God, you call us and you welcome us tonight
You invite us to gather in the stillness of this time. And our hearts, they are focused on you and on your love. And so we come with our hopes and our dreams. Hopes and dreams for peace in our world. For health for those who are ill. For the healing of relationships between those who are estranged. And for opportunities in the new year. Many of us also come, Lord, uncertain what our weary soul needs. But however we come, we know that you are here. And we ask that you would do in us what you began in Jesus on that first Christmas. This we pray in his name. Amen. I grew up in a family where Christmas was a big deal. This is not my house. This is Hogwarts. But my mother was similarly over the top with everything. If Channel 7 on your side or whatever investigative journalism team there was that went out to investigate the true identity of Mrs. Claus or Santa, and they came up with the fact that it was my mom, I would not be surprised. My mom had the trifecta of Christmas gifts. She could cook, and she made the best cookies and Yorkshire pudding and everything in between. She could decorate, and this was before Martha Stewart and all that help stuff you can get now. And she could shop, and I mean like Olympic-level shopping. My Christmases were all pretty great. Because of my mom and how she always went the extra mile. So I know about Christmas. But I have learned that as great as those things are, as wonderful as those Christmases are, they were just really part of the Christmas story. Christmas is so much more than all those things, as great and wonderful as they truly are. I am grateful. But the scriptures show us that Christmas is a whole different thing. And so during the month of December, we spend time at the church in reading these stories that help us understand what Christmas means. And we start with the story of a people who have walked in darkness, have seen a great light. This is a text from the First Testament or the Old Testament, and it's a beautiful text where we hear how God has not forgotten his people, that God is still with them, loving them even in the midst of all that was. We learned that hope, real hope, biblical hope, is not hope in things or hope in circumstances, but it's hope in God. That's what those people learned. And that's what Mary, the mother of Jesus, inherited. She was the second one, and we heard a voice from a young mother-to-be speaking of how the powers of this world, as corrupt as they are, as unjust and unfair as they are, how those powers, they would not have the final say. And that God would send a Messiah. He would send one to reconcile his people to him. And then tonight, we hear the story of Jesus' birth. The story of the Messiah. And we gather, and we come to the manger, and we look in with expectation, with hope. We lean in to see what gift awaits us. But if we are honest, we will admit that as adults, we don't always receive the gift of Christmas. At least not fully. I was thinking about this as I was listening to adults talk about Christmas. No children were around, so people were being honest. And as I listened to adults talk about Christmas, it felt to me almost like there was something going on. And the more I thought about it, the more I realized that, honestly, it kind of felt like people were confusing God with Santa. And here's what I mean. Santa is that one who keeps track of if you are good or if you are bad. But sometimes we think God also does that. And that leads us to think that God really only loves the good. God really only loves those who do everything right. And for some of us, we take it so far as we think God really only loves the perfect. Recently, I ran into a family, and I was talking to them, and church came up, and the husband said, you know, we used to go to church, and we loved it. But things happened. The kids had sports. Things were going on, and we stopped going, and we've thought about going back. But before I go back to church, I would need to clean up my life first. And when he said that, that kind of broke my heart. Because I think that's a misunderstanding about Christianity. The confusion between an all-loving God and a list-keeping Santa. Have you ever fallen into that mistake yourself? Confused the two? I used to serve a church where we had a preschool. I love preschoolers. They are my people. And we would have chapel time together. And one week, we were talking about Christmas, and I said, does God love everyone? And the preschoolers in good preschool form said, yes, God loves everyone. And I said, great. Does that mean that God loves the mean people? And they said, no, God does not love the mean people. And that's the scandal of it, isn't it? Right? That God loves the mean people and the broken people and the bankrupt poor and the lonely rich and the folks who go to church and the folks who don't. God loves them all. And the birth of Jesus, this is what shouts this to us. Jesus was born in the midst of imperfection, if there ever was one. He was born into a mess. There was no room in the inn, no place at the hospital, probably even no midwife. He was born to a teenage mom, and the others who were around him, they were outsiders, like shepherds, and later, traveling wise men. None of them were good. None of them were perfect. Could it be that all this imperfection actually has something profound to say to us? I think so. I think Christmas says to us that it isn't about being perfect or good, and it never was. That God loves us in the midst of all of our imperfections, in the midst of our pain and our struggle and our doubt and our grief, God meets us there, and God does not say to us, hey, take care of that yourself, and give me a ring when you have fixed it all and washed your face. Instead, God looks at us with the heart of the best parent ever and says, finally, what took you so long to come home? You probably know the story of the kindergarten teacher who was having her children draw. And she asked them what they were drawing. And one little girl piped up and said, "I am drawing God." And the teacher said, "Well, no one knows what God looks like." And she said, "They will in a minute." What's great about that story is that story illustrates the scandal of Christmas. Because, and we say as Christians, that God looks like Jesus, the one who loves everyone, the one who welcomes everyone, the one who embraces all people, the one who forgives us. We talk about Jesus as a savior, and sometimes we think being saved is about some kind of narrowness in our life, but actually the word salvation means expansiveness. It isn't about closing our life off. Jesus as Savior is about embracing life in its most whole and complete and inclusive way. Christmas comes every year to remind us that life isn't about being good. Life isn't about being thin enough or smart enough or rich enough. On Christmas, what we see is God is on our side. He has come to be with us, and that he offers us life and a fullness of life that we cannot know without him. So, may this be for you a Christmas of infinite hope. Whether that means coming back to church after being away, or picking up the phone and calling an estranged family member, or maybe even it means forgiving yourself this year. For here is the thing, Christmas reminds us of one of the things we need to hear every single year, and that is that God's love is real, and God's love is for us all. Let us pray. Loving and holy God, you meet us just as we are today, in this still and beautiful moment. And you remind us, no matter how far we have wandered, no matter how far we are from good and perfect, no matter how uncertain and unsure we are, that you love us, that you claim us, and that you are here to know us. God, open our hearts this night in a new way, in a way that takes away anything that would stop us from knowing you, because that is our prayer, to know you in this babe that comes, and then to serve you. All of this we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Wellness practice of the week. This is where I share with you something that you might do to increase your wellness this week. So one of the things that has been a blessing in my life since around the start of the pandemic was a group of clergy who gather every other week on Zoom together. I think in general, clergy are lone rangers. We got a lot going on, and adding one more thing just seems like, I'm not so sure. And in fact, there are people in our group who have the kinds of schedules where they can't plug it in. But I plug it in. So every couple weeks, I show up. Every couple weeks, I'm interested to hear what others are saying. And every couple weeks, I probably talk too much. And I know some of that's because I work on my own, and so I'm not surrounded by colleagues or other staff during the week. And so I really appreciate it. But I think there's something more going on, too. I think that a lot of times we need to take those breaks and build relationships with each other. Now, some of the people in my group I've known. We've been friends for a while. We've been in difficult places together. We've been in great times together. But some of the people in my group are newer to me. And so over these last years, our group started in 2020 as a way to resource each other around COVID and how to deal with that in local church. We've become a good group. We've gone on a retreat together. We sit together at events. And every couple weeks, we show up on Zoom to share what we're thinking. And during the week, we have a nice little text going between us if something comes up or someone needs a resource. I know sometimes we might think that we can do ministry on our own, or that plugging regular points of connection is just one more thing in an already exhausting week. But I think for me, this is a huge wellness practice to get outside of just talking to a couple people who I know well and to really learn from colleagues who are in all different situations. During my time of listening to these folks, I've learned a lot. I've learned and I've grown, and I've been humbled several times where I've realized some of the things I think are just not right. So, my wellness practice this week that I recommend is finding some clergy colleagues and setting up regular points of connection. In today's life, we can use Zoom, which makes things so much easier to keep connected. What is making this week good? This is the part of the episode when I talk about what I'm enjoying with the hope that you will notice something good in your week too. So one of the things that I am doing is I am doing a lot of advent calendars this year. And in fact, I'm doing a weekly review with my clergy friend Michelle Andrews on Facebook Live, and we are talking about the advent calendars we are looking at and using this year. And one of the advent calendars is a tea advent calendar. Now, I've done this before. I did Wittard's calendar for advent a couple years ago, and in fact, I kept it because it has little drawers for tea and it's so very practical. But this year, I invested in a different tea advent calendar, and I'm really loving it. These are not teas I normally would have. They're not things I have had before. A lot of them are green tea, which I'm trying to get into a little more. I'm usually just a black tea person. And it's been super fun, you know. So advent calendars and doing something just a little off the beaten path is what is making this week good. Mindfulness meditation. This is where we take some time just to be more present in whatever way that works for you. So take a moment to relax, to look around, to take a deep breath, however it is you become a little more present, and remember who you are. You are God's beloved. And remember in whose image you are created. You're created in the image and likeness of God. We have been looking at some quotes together, and so I thought I'd share with you a quote from Alice Walker. She writes, "The most common way people give up their power is by thinking they don't have any." The most common way people give up their power is by thinking they don't have any. May you know these words, and may these words give you life. Thanks for listening. I appreciate you. I invite you to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. Follow me on Instagram and on Facebook at Nicole Riley Coaching. If you start following me there, you'll see my next big giveaway that I will be doing in January. Find out how to work with me as a clergy coach, a life coach, or a social media manager at NicoleRiley.com. My email address is also in the show notes. My book is Expanding the Expedition Through Digital Ministry on Amazon, and today I invite you to make the important choice to embrace a life of wellness. See you next week.